Okay, we're starting at Tafa Kufnun Amud Aleph. We're continuing the sugi of what is subsumed under the category of Nichsai. If a person grants, either it's a Shechemira, grants all his Nichasim, or even a Bari who had made a deal about Nichasim, what is included under this category? So far we've included Avadim, right? We land, Ara. We included Glima, which are basic Mentalim. We included Zuze, we included Moniz Matbeot. Right, and then we included shtarot, which is what we left off with yesterday. Now the Gemara says behema ikre nechsei, also nechsei. They're included under this category. Behema is also included. Ditnan. How do I know this? Amagdish nechasav vayta behen behema ruya legabe mizbeach zecharim yimachru letzorchei olot unekevot yimachru letzorchei zivchei shlamim. Happens to be it's a machlokas there in the Mishnah and Shkalim, what you do, but here a person is magdish all of his possessions, and within his house you find animals that are ra'uy lemizbech, animals that could be used as olot or shlamim. There the machlokas is whether you actually bring them as olot or shlamim, or do you sell them to others who need olot or shlamim, and then the money will go to bedek abayit. Because your intent when you're magdish these, or the money that you're giving, is to give it to bedek abayit. And therefore also, when you sell these animals, it'll be the same. But nevertheless, what do you see? Hamakdish nichasav. He used the term nichasav, and what's included in there is behemot. So therefore, behema is also a classified or in the category of nichsei. Ofot, ikre nichsei. Ofot also included or a subset of this category. That's not. Hamakdish nichasav. Vayu behen dvarim aruyim levigabi mizbeach. Amongst the items that were in the house or the area that when he said I'm going to be makdish, there were certain things that were in the mizbech. Yenot, shmanim, ofot, wines, oil, and birds. So you see that when you use the term nechasav, again, included in that is ofot as well. So now we have added to our list of items that are included under nechasav is also behema and ofot. Now the Gemara wants a tefillin ikre nechseh. Mar says, all right, tefillin also. Someone who is makdish his property, or his possessions really, malin lo tefillin. We let him have the tefillin, but he's got to pay for them. I mean that he's got to redeem his tefillin in order to get them. So again, here, in the category, subsumed under the category of nechsei, or nechsei, is the word is tefillin. They'll also be included in that category. So we're talking about, over here, nechsei, we said yesterday, I think the term is the possessions. Right, the Rashbam yesterday said it has to be mamon, uses the term mamon. I think that we'll see in a second maybe why that was his focus, but it's really possessions that have monetary value, that have some sort of value to him. So far we've included almost everything, right? So here comes the one exclusion. Right, exactly. So here comes the one exception. Yivayla who sefer Torah mai. First known as the sefer Torah, is that included or subsumed under the term nechsei? Right, so our girsa, the girsa we have here, which is eliminated by the Bach, says, Kevin Dulam is Dabin, Dasur Lizwune, Lab Nichseu. Do we say because you can't sell a Sefer Torah that doesn't have a qualification, it's not classified as a possession? Because you don't sell a Sefer Torah, therefore it has no, in a sense, no monetary or the ability to monetize the Sefer Torah, or Dilma. There are exceptions, the Gemara Megillah talks about, that there are exceptions to selling a Sefer Torah, which are the two exceptions, Limot Torah and to Lisa Isha, to get married. So then Nechseu, so they does have some monetary value. There is a way to exchange it for monetary value, and that'll make it into a Nechseu, or classified as a possession. So that's it. The Bach does not have such a gear. So the Bach's gear is simply, Ibailu Sefer Torah Mai, right, and it says, Dilma, Kevin Dimizdavin Lemotarav, Lisaisha Nechsehu. That'll be it. What's the other tzad? Right, what's the other tzad of that? The other tzad of that is what? Right, it's not. But why? Why is it not? So the Rashbam over here differentiates between Sefer Torah and the Tefillin. He says that the Sefer Torah, right, Tefillin, the reason that they're included, even though they're in a sense, the same item. They're kadosh, like the Sefer Torah. They have, you can't really sell them for whatever reason you want. I mean, you can only sell them to buy maybe a Sefer Torah. But what about tefillin? Well, he says, well, tefillin, because they're malbush. So even though they have the same status as a Sefer Torah, nevertheless, in the end, they're qualified or classified as a malbush. And since they are classified as a malbush, right, then they have, they are your possession, because you wear them. On the other hand, a Sefer Torah is a mitzvah lo nechsei. Right? Sefer Torah is an accomplishment or is used or utilized for a mitzvah, but it's in of itself, it's not a possession because it doesn't do anything for you. So maybe tefillin do something because you wear them, even though they may not have monetary value in the sense that you can monetize them. But they do have the, you use them or utilize them as a malbush. It's supposed to Sefer Torah, which would not have that status. I mean, Sefer Torah is totally separate, something that requires mechitza. You have to be in a, it has to be in a separate location. It's not something that necessarily you would classify as a possession. So that'd be the other tzad to saying, well, here you could sell it for lamod or listaisha. On the other hand, it's not a utility, or like the other items here, which are monetary value, utility to the individual. The utility of a Sefer Torah is simply its use as a mitzvah or the ability to accomplish a mitzvah. So that might be the other tzad. There will be shown in most, a little bit about, other little nuances in Sefer Torah and why it might be different. But the Gemara leaves this as a teku, as it is unresolved about whether this is a din of nechusim or not. So now, the Gemara is going to go through a number of case law. And through the case law, the Gemara is going to discuss here one interesting topic up front, and then Gemara is going to get to Shechemira and really discuss through all these cases the din of Shechemira that we've taken for granted, or that the Mishnah has explained to us. The Gemara is going to go through the cases and understand it. Eme de Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, the mother of Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Kadvino le Nechsa, the Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, she wrote or gave over all of her possessions to her son, right, Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, de Bailin Suve le the Rav Zvit, because she was going to marry Rav Zvit. So this we saw yesterday was Mavrechen Nechasa, someone who wants to create a prenuptial agreement or a trust, basically, which will keep her ownership or possessions out of the hands of her new husband, because if not, if she does nothing, it will simply revert to her new husband. So she doesn't want that. So what does she do? She puts them into trust, or she, and basically over here, the Gemara discussed, is that she grants them all to an individual. She gives it as a matana to someone. If she grants it as a full-fledged and complete matana, then we say that if, for whatever reasons, later on she wants to reverse that, she can, because it's obvious the reason she's doing it is to protect her nechasim from reaching her new husband. So she did exactly that. She granted all her possessions to her son because she was going to marry Rav Zvid. In Zivah, she married him, Vigirsha, right? And she divorced him. So she did get married, got divorced. Acha the kamei Rabbi Bar Abaye. So he went before Rabbi Bar Abaye. Amar mishum insuve vayinzava. So the son says, right? Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia says, listen, the reason she gave him to me is because she wanted to get married, and she did get married. So if she got married, she accomplished what she wanted. The gift should remain in place. So Amar leu Rav Huna, Rabbi Rav Yeshua, shum daata mumulai amritu milim miliato. Because you are mumulai here, the Rishbam again says mumulai is a place, a makom. Therefore you say mile mulyoto. Therefore you say these cut off words or these meaningless or empty words. The other explanation of mumulai would also be this idea of bnei eli. That the Gemara says that Rishbam and Rashi brings in other places that because you are from bnei eli who are going to be cut off, right, you say words mumuliyata. Afilu the mando ama mavrechet koni. Even the one who says when you're mavriach nichasa, when she tries to give away the possessions in order to protect from others getting their hands on them. Hani milechet lo gal yadato. That's only when she doesn't explicitly say what his intentions are. When it has to be an umda nedadas, there we have a machlokas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Chachamim. Exactly when do we say the umda nedadas or not? But over here she was explicit. She says the reason I'm giving away is because she wants to go married. Here she was explicit about the fact that the reason she's giving these away, the possessions away, is in order to avoid her husband or new husband taking possession of it. She got married and she got divorced. Meaning that if she got married and then got divorced, if the whole purpose was to protect against her husband, it succeeded. And now that she's divorced, she wants her to possess it. And she should be able to get them back. Now, what bothered me is, what's the nature of this gift? I mean, now we saw this before by the Beit Choron, by the neder, by Beit Choron, that he wants to give the meal to his friend in order that his son and the grandson, the father and the grandfather, all can come and celebrate at the wedding of his son. But there he did it again. All he's trying to do is avoid ownership and get around, circumvent the law. So that's what she's doing here also. She's circumventing the Dine Yerusha, that her husband shouldn't get it, and all she's doing is giving it to him, but it's coming back to her. The person who gets or is granted the gift, in the interim, what do they own of it? Do they really own it? Do they own it in the sense that they could be makdishit, that they could spend it, they could get rid of it, or not? Or is the expectation that she's going to give it back? It's a matana, manat achzir. It's not clear for him. Tosfos takes issue with this.
Over there, the problem was Isser and Chait. You know, the person didn't want to be in the Sayli de Aveira.
Right.
Over here, that issue doesn't exist.
Right, but the Gemara there lays out what the qualifications are for actually disowning something or having someone else own something. That's it. Kol davar she'ol akdish. Any item that you could be makdish, then you own it. Can this son, can her son be makdish it here?
I think it's obvious that he could.
He could. The question that the nature of the gift, whether it's mentanama, not akzir, if it's some sort of full-fledged ownership, which would have been my gut, that in order to get away from her husband, she has to have the party she gives it to have full-fledged ownership, and that ownership will protect her. Otherwise, there's no protection because he doesn't really own it. So this is the Tosfos here. Just look in the last lines. And Tosfos is basically asking that in other places we say that even when she's under her husband's control, but nevertheless, the lokeach doesn't get full control of it. So the last four or five lines of the Tosfos, it says, Mishani, takanta derabanan. This is a takanta derabanan. Shuasua, kigon shemechartem. That they make it as if she sold it. Miu yishlamar, the mikomakom, nihitalo kani bao, vilokeach. No one has possession of it here. Nor the husband, neither the son, nor the husband, neither the buyer, nor the husband. Mikomakom, brishuta mikabel matanahim achititgaresh. They are in his possession. It sounds almost like a nishkad, an escrow account, that he stays there. Tosfos is faced with this problem, and he's faced with a bigger problem, which is the Gemara in other places says that the... No, he's simply a guardian of the property. It's a takana derabanan, which allows her to be mavriach or mavrechet nichasea. And because of that, the Chachamim instituted that the ownership will be mufka, both from the husband and from the buyer. The buyer will not have possession. He will be the guardian of the possessions. They'll be in his possession during that time, but not that he can actually go and spend them.
The first side of the umdan that exists until she gets divorced.
Right. That's Tosfos seems to say it's not working like that. It's not working on umdan. It's working as a takanas chachamim that leaves it in. You can create like an escrow or a trust. Basically, you can create a right in the modern day is a trust where you are the. Right, the executor, someone's the executor of the trust, but it's out of your possession, so that nobody can inherit it, the tax authorities can't get to it. That type of idea, that's exactly what Tosfos calls it over here. It's a takana derabanan that allows it. I'm saying you could argue that there was full-fledged ownership. There's a full-fledged ownership, he could have done what he wanted with it along the way, and then he'd have to be makzir it. That's the tnai. What you're saying, the umdana, the dat, is that it's a gift al tnai, that whatever is left over after if I get divorced, and you have to return what's ever there when I'm divorced. And I think that could be a positive. That's not what Tosfos says. I think it's interesting what Tosfos says.
Yeah, but maybe she's married him for 20 years. I mean,
right. Then it would just sit around, according to Tosfos, right? It's very interesting. All right. Next case. Imei derami barchamo. So, imei derami barchamo beurta. In the evening, Kazvino nichsa to Rami Bar Chama. She brought all of her possessions to her son, Rami Bar Chama. Bitzafra, Kazvino to Rav Ukva Bar Chama. In the morning, she wrote them to her other son, Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Ati Rami Bar Chama, lekame de Rav Sheshet. So Rami Bar Chama went before Rav Sheshet, right? And Ukmei Menichse. He gave him the possessions. He was the first one to get the gift from his mother, so he got them. Also, Rav Ukva Bar Chama, coming to Rav Nachman, he was smart, he went to the Dayon, Rav Nachman, and Rav Ukva, the second recipient, right? Ukva Menichse, Rav Nachman says, you get him. So now you have a, right, Machlokes at Dayonim here, Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman. So after Rav Sheshes, the commander of Nachman, so Rav Sheshes comes for Rav Nachman, Amar Lei, my time, Ukme, Mar, the Mar Ukva, the Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Says, what's the reasoning behind you are placing him there? Imishum Dahadrabo. If you say that she reversed herself, that she backed out of it, Vashchiva, she passed away. Right? So if she passed away, then we know that the Divrei Shchimira is Ketubim Surim Dami. And if she made a gift over here, then it should stand, it should still be in place. Why should we reverse her gift?
It was a letter.
Oh, so Amalei, Hachi Amar Shmuel. This is what Shmuel says, and we saw this din yesterday from Shmuel. Kol She'ilu Amad Choser, Choser V'matanato. Anybody who, if they survived, could have retracted or reneged on the deal, so too, even before they pass away, they can renege or they can change the ownership. So that's basically what we have, a principle that we've laid out before, which is that a dayuta, or a matnat shchimira, as opposed to contracts where you sell something or you give something, then in those cases, the earliest date is what's koveya, because the first kinyan is what's koveya. By matnat shchimira, it's the opposite way around. It's the last date that's koveya. The person is allowed, since there is no kinyan over here, the lack of kinyan allows them to change their mind over and over again. And what is koveya is death. That until the mashiv chimira dies, or until the grantor dies, there is no kinyan. So until the last moment, they can change their mind. And the last person to receive the gift will be the one who is gets the kinyan or gets the matnat shchemira. So that's what happens. That's what Rav Nachman's arguing over here. Nachman's saying, I'm sorry, but the fact is that that Rav Ukva was the second recipient. If he's the second recipient, that means that she reversed herself or reversed herself with regards to Rami Bar Chama. So if that's the case, then he gets the gift and not the first one. Obviously, Rav Sheshes, right, or at least the Havamino of Rav Sheshes over here is that the first individual would have gotten it because there was no reversal at this point in time, or we don't allow the reversal to take place. Because when a Kshim B'nai gives a gift, it's Ketuvim Surim Dami and it's done. So that's the Rav Nachman says you're wrong, that only Ketuvim Surim Dami is once she passes away. But until she passes away, there is no Ketuvim Surim Dami, and therefore she can reverse it. So the verse says, Imer, or Rav Sheshi at least suggests, Imer Damer Shmuel Atzmo, Acher Mi Amar. Maybe Shmuel says that, in terms of the ability to change his mind or reverse the Shchemira's position, that might be true with taking the items back into his own possession. Who says they can change their mind and then give it to another party, to a third party again? So he says, Amalei, Rav Nachman says, Beferu Shomar Shmuel, Shmuel being the Rebbe of Rav Nachman, he says, Beferu Shomar Shmuel, Ben Atzmo, Ben Acher, makes no difference. Shchemira can change their mind as many times as they want, and the last recipient will be the one that's Nikva, will have the precedence, meaning that it'll go in reverse order, and the later gifts will take precedence over the earlier gifts. Right, Ime de Rav Amram Chasida, I'm sorry, before I start that, you should know that the Gemara in, the problem is that there's a Gemara in Ksubos that has this exact same story. If you look at the Bach's letters over here, Chet and Tet, the story is the reverse. That his mother gave it to Rami Bar Chama B'Tzafra in the morning, and then he gave it to Rav Ukva Bar Chama B'Urta in the evening. So now that the Bach amends the gears here to match that Gemara in Ksubos. The problem is that the conclusion of the Gemara in Ksubos is different. And therefore, the Rashbam over here points out, because of the conclusion is different, that we're talking about two different cases. Well, it's two different cases. So listen to the cases at the bottom of the Rashbam. He says that the Maskono in the Gemara in Ksubos is that it's Shuda Dedaini. It's up to the Dayanim, right? That's Machlokas Rashi and tells us what exactly Shuda Dedaini means. But it's up to the Dayanim to distribute it. We don't worry about who preceded whom. Because they were written on one day. So now it has a Rambam. So we'll see. That Gemara in Ksubos we have to explain is a case by a bari. And over here is a case of shchemira. That when it comes to a shchemira, it's irrelevant if it's the same day or a different day. Right, it doesn't matter, right, it happens to be here, but it's irrelevant. It's 2 days, 1 day, doesn't matter, because Shchemira is all dependent on who's last. But that's not true about Der Mekame. That's not true by Bari. Matnat Bari, we say that there's no Kedimot on a single day. That when it comes to gifts that are granted on the same day, if they have the same date in the contract, they're on equal footing. Even if they're given in the morning and the afternoon, we don't write L'Sha'ot, except maybe in Yerushalayim, they wrote L'Sha'ot. But otherwise, the hour of the day is irrelevant. It's this, whatever date, if you have to share the same date, then you're on equal footing. So that's what he says. The Gemara in Ksuva is talking about a Matnat Bari. That was on the same dating, and therefore it's Shuda Dedaini, because their contracts don't give them any precedence. Over here, Shchemira, irrelevant. 1 day, 2 days, doesn't matter. It's about who was last. And therefore over here, who's the last, dictates for Shchemira. So that's how the Rashbam solves the problem of the two stories, although it sounds a little far-fetched, that her mother gifted twice, changed her mind in both times, gave it to the son, and it was different in morning and night. Right? It sounds like it needs some reconciliation, which is what the Bach tries to do over here. Right now, the next case. Imei de Rav Amram Chasida, Havalei Meluga de Shtarai. She had a wad of contracts. Kikashiv Shachva, when she's passed away, Amra lehavi laAmram Bri. She go to my son Amram. Ata Chua, the Kameder of Nachman. His brothers show up to Rav Nachman. Amra lei, halo Mashach. He didn't make a kinyan on it. Now, Mashach Rabbi is not, I don't know if that's the right kinyan over here. Gemara is just using an example of kinyan, because by shtarot, you have to pass on, that's a machlokas here, between the Rishonim, whether by a shchimera, by a bari, if you sell a contract, we saw this earlier, we said this in Gemara Gittin, that you have to give over the kinyan, b'chol shibude imei. In order for the contract to be intact, if you hand a contract to someone else, you have to grant them the contract with the kinyan, and say that all of its shibud goes along with it. Machlokas here between the Rishonim is that true by Eshchimera? Do we say that Eshchimera has to do the same thing, that his mother actually said, take this, take possession of this, and and everything with it? Or is the Gemara saying that, no, but Eshchimera is different. Eshchimera doesn't need to do all this. We'll be towing on his behalf. Eshchimera, as long as they give a kinyan, as long as they direct it in the right direction, we will fill in the blanks, and we will say whatever lashon they need to make the kinyan. The Ritva says no, that you need a full-fledged, explanation in kinyanim. The other Rishonim that say no. So Amar Lo, so Rav Nachman said back to them, Divrei Eshchimera kichtuvim umisurin domi. You're right, there was no kinyan here. But you don't need a kinyan. Right? You don't need a kinyan because all you need is Divrei Eshchimera. Divrei Eshchimera are equivalent to a ktuvim umisurim dami. Again, that machlokas of the Rishonim about what that means. Does it mean that the kinyan, that's enough? Or do you also need to say b'chol shibudei mei along with it? Now, what does this mean? That Divrei Eshchimera ktuvim umisurim dami. Right, so I couldn't find a mitzvah then. I'll send you the makorot later. But there's a machlokas back on the Gemara on Kufim Zayin Amud Beth. Kufim Zayin Amud Beth. The Gemara there says, what's the reason that Shchemira works? It's Shaloti Taref Dato. Right, so that is Dat will not be Mituraf. So over there, the Rashbam writes towards the bottom of the Amud on the Kufim Zayin Amud Beth. When the Rishbam is discussing why you cannot grant Peiro Dekel, and why you cannot grant the ability to an intangible item like living in the house, so this is what the Rishbam writes. He writes, but not Shchemira, Nami Lokanya, Demilta Delete Bibari, Lete Mishchemira. Whatever you don't have by a Bari, you don't have by Shchemira. Ain Shchemira Chomor Mi Bari. Shchemira is no better than a Bari. Ela Damirato, Bimakom Kinyan Shobarihu. It's in place of the Kinyan of a Bari. So what you see from what the Rishbam is suggesting over here, and it flows in many places, the Rishbam seems to suggest this, is that kichtuvim misurim dami means that you basically have created, it's in place of a maisa kinyan, right? That the amira of the shchimira generates a maisa kinyan over here. And that's what it means, kichtuvim misurim dami. Kichtuvim misurim dami means that you've replicated created in essence a maisa kinyan. That's one possibility of what you could say, which means Ketubim Misurim Domi. The Ritva on the Shaloti Taref Dekel, on the same daf, on Kufim Zayin Amud Beth, says that if you know how it works, as Hefker based on Hefker. Right, so Tekanat Chachamim, and Tekanat Chachamim works that basically it's Hefker based on Hefker, and they can determine how it works. So when they say Ketubim Misurim Domi, they basically say it belongs to this individual. Not that there's a Maisa Kinyan over here. As opposed to the Rishbam says that it replaces or creates a Maisa Kinyan over here. So there could be nafkaminot. It's not necessarily true. They're going to have to explain all the gemaras because the gemaras are pretty explicit. Like, for instance, davar shelo b'lo olam doesn't work. So if davar shelo b'lo olam does not work, then that, according to the Rishbam, it doesn't work because there's no ma'aseh kinyan. You can't make a ma'aseh kinyan on the davar shelo b'lo olam. So even if you are shchemira and you say it, all you've done is now created a ma'aseh kinyan. The ma'aseh kinyan can't be chal because it's davar shelo b'lo olam. They're going to have to suggest by the ritva that if it's hefker based on hefker, it could have worked. But why doesn't it work? Doesn't work because the Chachamim did not include. There was some sort of parameter within the din of the Chachamim. All right. So now, Achde de Rav Tuvi Bar Rav Matno, the sister of Rav Tuvi Bar Matno, Kadvino Nichsa the Rav Tuvi Bar Matno, Bitzafra. She gave all of her possessions over to her brother in the morning. Lepanyo in the afternoon, Ati Rav Achadvai Bar Rav Matna, her other brother came and Bachala started crying to her. Says Amar La Ashtamrei Mar Tuber Rabbono, and you're going to say my other brother is a Talmud Chacham. Umar La Tuber, and they're going to say about me that I'm not a Talmud Chacham. Why? Because you gave all your possessions to him and not to me. So Kadvino Niale. So she wrote all her possessions to this brother who came and beseeched her to include him in the will, and she wrote all to him. After the coming to Rav Nachman, and he went before Rav Nachman. So that's, again, this is the idea that the Shchemira can change their mind. When she changed her mind, it's going to go to the second brother and not to the first brother. Even though her intent in the beginning was to give it all to the first brother, when the second brother came and complained, right, when Rav Achudvai came and complained, she then granted all of her possessions to Rav Achudvai. And then he will be the one who receives it and not Rav Tuvi. So now, next case, Achte de Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, the sister of Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, Avala Piskita de Pardesa. She had a strip of land that was an orchard. Every time she got sick, have a maknele in the ale. She should give it over to him in a kinya, as a kinyan. She were, every time she felt like she was sick and she was afraid she might die, she should be maknele this orchard to her brother. And then when she became healthy again, when she's ill, you know, her ill, whatever she was ailing from, she recovered from. Avad Hadrapa, she reversed the kinyan. So you should keep granting it and then taking it back. Right, so then Zimna Chado Chalsho, again, and she fell ill again one time. And Shalchale Takani. So he said, she said, you know what, listen, come over and be kone in my orchard once again. So he had enough already. You know, she had thought she was dying too many times already. Rav Dimon Bar Yosef's sister, and he says, you know what, I'm not coming. He says, he says, I'm not interested, I'm not coming. She says, alright, this time you come and make a kinyan in any way you want, so that I won't be able to back out of it. No, he was having, he had enough of this, where she kept making a kinyan, she was backing out of it, so it was no benefit to him. He said, fine, no, I'm not doing it. So she says, okay, you know what? Come and make a kinyan on it any way you want, so I can't back out of it. So you'll really keep it this time. So sure enough, he shows up. Azal, Shaira v'konu mina. So what did he do? He left over a piece of the orchard. He didn't take all of the orchard, he left over a piece of it, and then he made a kinyan on it from her. So kikaimo, Hadrapa, of course, she got better again, and she reversed the kinyan. So after they came to Rav Nachman, they came before Rav Nachman with this case. Shalach le, come over here. Right, so Rav Nachman calls. Rav Dimon Bar Yosef responds to him and says, listen, I'm not coming. He says, what do you have on me? I left over a part of the property and I made a kinyan on it. There's nothing to talk about here. It's a Mishnah Mefreshet that if you leave over a part of a Matnat Shemira, you leave it over and you make a kinyan, there's nothing to talk about. I have a full kinyan over here. So after she had come to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman had Shalach Leita, he says, Lo'ata, I'm not coming. Amar Mai, Ite, Aishare, Vekanumina. Shalach Le, Iloatit, Chinalach, Visilu. If you don't show up, I'm going to, punish you with the silua, these thorns or these, whatever, these pricks that don't take blood but are just painful. But basically you're saying, I'm going to put you into nidui. I mean, if you don't come and respect the court and don't show up here at the base, then I'm going to put you into nidui. These thorns that you poke with, you cause pain, but don't take any blood. So he calls in the witnesses who were there when she was calling for her brother. He says, what happened? She said this, vai to kamita. She goes, whoa, I'm going to die. This woman is going to die. So what was she afraid of? She was afraid of the fact that she wasn't going to see her brother. She was going to pass away and she wasn't going to see her brother. So she wanted to see her brother before her death. So she called for her brother to come make a kinyan on the property, and her brother didn't show up. So then she had to go to more extreme methods to get her brother to show up. So what did she do? She says, come and make a kinyan any way you want. But it was clear, what was her intention over here? Her intention was because she thought she was going to die, and therefore she called her brother over because she thought she was going to die. So Rav Nachman says to him and introduces a new category, a new issue, which is, im kein ave mitzave machmat mita. She's giving a instruction because of death. Umitzave machmat mita chuzer. Anybody's giving instructions because of death can back out of it, can reverse their position. Right now, how is Mitzavah Machmat Mita different than a Shechimriya or Kriya Shemitah? We're going to see now. We're going to have a bunch of cases in the Gemara. We'll see it. And then we'll come to a conclusion in the Gemara and we'll look through. I'll show you in Shulchan Aruch and through the Ritva what are the differences between them. Itmar Matnat Shechimriya B'Miktzat. Right? A Matnat Shechimriya in a portion. A Shechimriya gives a partial gift. So Amru Rabbonon Kamei De Rabbo Mishmei De Bar Zutra Brei De Rav Nachman Damer Mishmei De Rav Nachman Arihi Kamei Na Bari. That a matnat shchimera b'miktzat as the equivalent of a matnat bari. Varhi k'matnat shchimera, but it's also like the matnat shchimera. Why? Varhi k'matnat bari. It's like matnat bari. D'she'im amad eno chuzer. That if you survive or you become healthy, then you can't back out of the gift. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says if you give a partial gift, you can't back out of it if you get healthy. Varhi k'matnat shchimera d'lo bai kinyan. It's like a matnat shchimera. It doesn't require a kinyan or whatever. So amrlo. Rava says to them, "Lava mina luchu. I never said this. Lo titlu buki b'sriki b'Rav Nachman. I never heard. He never said, or Rav Nachman never said such a thing. Don't put empty pitchers or empty flasks. You know what I mean? Don't put air into Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman never say such a thing. Hochi amar Rav Nachman. This is what Rav Nachman said. Arhi k'matnat bari the gamrei ubayi kinyan, and it requires a kinyan. That a matnat shchimira b'miktzat." Number one is like a matnat bari, and we'll see what that means. And number two, it is what? By a kinyan, it requires a kinyan over here. And since it requires a kenyan, therefore, if the shchemira survives, then he won't get it back, because there was a kenyan over here, and it's a final. That's it. It was done. The matnat borin, it's gone. Eitvei Rova Rav Nachman. So Rova challenged Rav Nachman. It's interesting. We had this just earlier in the Gemara, that here Rav was quoting something from Rav Nachman, and then he goes ahead and challenges Rav Nachman. He quotes, it's not like he's speaking to Rav Nachman, all of a sudden then the Gemara changes it to him speaking to Rav Nachman. So Rav asks Rav Nachman, Shiar Karko Koshu, if he leaves over a portion of property, Matnato Kayemet, his Matana is Kayemet. So that's our Mishnah, My Lav Delo Konomine. It's a case where there was no kenyan. Oh, the konomine. No, he had a kenyan on it. Whoa, if he made a kenyan on it, he ochi ema seifa. What are you going to do with the next part of our Mishnah? Lo shir karko koshu ein matana oto kayemet. His matana is not final. So he said, the konomine amayinu matana oto kayemet. Why isn't his matana final? Meaning that if you say it's a matnat shchemira, and then he survives, and we give away all his possessions, and he survives, and he can renege on it because he was a gift of a matnat shchemira. There was no real kinyan here. But if he made a full-fledged kinyan over here, why should he be able to back out and get back the matana? He made a kinyan. A kinyan is a kinyan. It's done. That means that the gift is done now, and not later on when he passes away. So that's, by the way, this is one of the things that it makes you lean towards the Shita's Ritva. When you say matnat shchemira, right, is kiktubim musurim dami. If you say it's a full-fledged kinyan, it's a maisa kinyan. If it's a maisa kinyan, why can he back out of it? On the other hand, if you say it's Efker based on Efker, then you can say you can back out when there was no Maisa Kinyan. That was the Takanas Chachamim. We'll see in a second that even according to those that say it's a Maisa Kinyan, you can explain it. What's that? Shchemira that writes away all of his possessions. If even though they take the Kinyan from him, Amad Chuzer. If he survives, he's allowed to back out of it. Why? Because it's obvious that the gift or the kinyan that was established over here was only because he thought he was going to die. Right? Because of mitzvah machmat mita, that is the case. Oh, so what's the difference between mitzvah machmat mita and shchemira? Right? What's the difference? Again, I'm leaving these as questions, because here the Gemara is saying, oh, shchemira that gives a full-fledged matana, if you made a kinyan in it, you wouldn't be able to back out of it. But over here, that's not the case. Why? Because it's mitzvah machmat mita. So mitzvah machmat mita makes it different, and therefore he can back out of it, even though there was a kinyan. So does that mean that a shchemira is always a mitzvah machmat mita, or a mitzvah machmat mita is something different? So Hvei Remeshar Shel Rava, Masa B'Iman Shel Bnei Ruchel. There was a case by the mother of these individuals, the Bnei Ruchel, Shaita Chola. She was sick. V'amra Tinatein Kevinati Lebiti. Give my brooch to my daughter. V'lo B'Shnei Masar Manet. Right, and it's worth
a lot of money.
Right, 1,200. Right, 1,200 zuz. Umeita. And then she passed away. V'kaimu Dvarel. Chamim established or did what she said. So here, even though there was no kinyan over here, and it was only partial possessions. It was a part of her possessions, number one, and number two was without a kinyan. And nevertheless, they let it go through. So how come they let it go through? Gemara says, Ata mitzave machmat mita. Over there, it was mitzave machmat mita, and therefore it's okay. So, Eitvei Ravina the Rav, we have a case.
The definition of mitzave machmat mita is where a person, like we said, for a vayde kamisa.
Right, that is possibly. The Ritva actually gives three qualifications of what a mitzave machmat mita. The Ritva here says that there are three possibilities of what a mitzave machmat mita is. One is that they fell ill suddenly. They fell quickly and suddenly they fell ill. That's one possibility, which would indicate that they're really worried about death. The other one is that they are on the verge of death, meaning that they're so ill, so sick, that they're teetering right on the edge of death. And the other one is where they explicitly say, "Vaya mito," I mean that they make an explicit comment that they're worried about dying. They made an explicit reference to the fact that they're going to die. So that those are the three possibly what's mitzvah machmat mita, and it might be that all shchemira that when they're giving it might be in this category. I mean that's exactly what they're feeling, that they might be mitzvah machmat mita. But we'll see in a second. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch. I'll read to you some of the nuances here. So now etvei ravina or the rabbi, I omer tnu get lezil zel ishti, give this get to my wife, ushtar shichur zel abdi, or give this document of freedom to my eved, umate. And he dies. Lo yinu lachar mita. You can't give it after mita. So the shtar would only become effective. The kinyan would only become effective after his death. And you can't divorce after death. And you can't be mishachar after death. Tnu maneh l'ploni umate. If he says give this maneh to someone and he dies, yinu lachar mita. You still give it after mita. Umimai. Right? So he says, Umumai delokonomine. He says, wait, why do you think it's a question? Who says he didn't have a kinyan over here? He says, I'll tell you why. Dedumya de get. Ma get lav bar kinyan. Avai nami delokonomine. Right? So he says, listen, the get can't have a kinyan over here, because if he made a kinyan on the get would have been effective beforehand. You don't, the get's either effective or not effective. So if there was a kinyan already, it would have been done. The get would have been effective. If the get is only given, and we say here it's not effective because it only happened after mitah, that means there's no kinyan. There's no kinyan by the get. There's also no kinyan by the manet. And nevertheless, we say what? It goes. It's good. You don't need a kinyan over here. And you give it after the miso. So atonami mitzave machmat mita. Again, it's the same thing that is mitzave machmat mita. And mitzave machmat mita does not require a kinyan over here. So Ravuna Breda Rav Shushan Amar mitzave machmat mita ba'alma ba'yi kinyan. No. Mitzave machmat mita in general, right, needs a kinyan. What about all these brightot that we just brought here that say that you don't require kinyan? So we couldn't explain it to Shkib Mira because it was mixat nechasav. So what are you going to do with that? We're going to say v'mechalei kol nechasav. There's a case where he's distributing all of his property, right? So dahayi matnat Shkib Mira shavua. So we saw this earlier on Shabbos' daf. Right, that when a person is distributing all their property, when we say that you have to give away all your property, it doesn't mean you have to simultaneously give away all your property. It means that if a person is in the process of distributing all their possessions, as long as they distribute all their possessions in the end, that's called the matnat shkemira that you can back out of. So how are we going to explain all these brachot above? Right, or he had more, but he was a part of a larger distribution that he was making. Same thing with the woman above. When she gave her brooch to her daughter, right, the Iman to Bnei Rochel, she was giving out all her possessions, and the brooch was one of the many items that she gave away. Not that it's a matana miksas. So now when it's a matana kulo, if it's a kula, then we know it's a matana shkemira. And matana shkemira, if you get up, you're allowed to reverse it, and you're also allowed to affect it after death, because that's exactly what matana shkemira is. The kinyan happens a moment as the person dies, that's when the kinyan goes effective, and therefore you can give it even after death. The hilchos of the locha is matnat shchemira b'miktzat boi kinyan. A matnat shchemira in miktzas requires a kinyan. The afagav demait, even if they die, you require a kinyan. Mitzava machma mita lo boi kinyan. Someone's mitzava machma mita does not require a kinyan, but who demait? That's as long as he dies. Amad choser, if he survives, then he can back out of it. Afagav the konomine, even though there was a kinyan over here. So now you have two categories. You have a category called Shkimira, and a category called Mitzave Machmat Mita. So what's the difference between them, or what are the halachic ramifications of having these two categories? So we explained already what the Ritva says, what are the three categories of Mitzave Machmat Mita. If you look in the Rambam has, right also, Alashon, I'll send you the Rambam. I'm just going to read you the Shulchan Aruch over here, because the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes from the Tur and from the Rambam. And Siman Reish Nun, when he's describing Matnat Shkimira, he says, this. Matnat shkemira, ein tzarich laknota, right? Mishum echad metachei akhakna. You don't have to grant it with any form of kinyan. Shedivrei shkemira, chtuvim umsurim dami. That's what we just saw. But, right? And that's the ve'ein chiluk. There's no difference ben tzava, letet miyad achar moto, or shetzava de yorsha, letet achar zman. Makes no difference whether he's giving it out afterwards. Right? Now, this is that's the basic principle of shchemira. Now, if you the ex halacha, so he says shchemira shekatav kol nechasav lacherim velo shayir klum. Shchemira gives all of his possessions away and left nothing over. Afal pi shekanu miyado, even though they made a kinyan im amad b'nitrape legamrei, if he survives hamatana b'teila memela, the matana goes away by itself. Va'afilu hitna b'shat matana shelo yochol lechzor bo, even if he says I'm not going to back out of it, im amad chuzer. Elim kein kanum biyado, unless there is a kinyan. If there is a kinyan, then you can, if there's a tznai that says I won't reverse it, then it'll work. But without a kinyan, that won't work. So Shchemira can grant a gift without a kinyan. And even if he grants with a kinyan, if he's given away all of his property, then he can back out of it, because there's an umdana, the dat, that he only granted it because he thought he was going to die. So now, Bamed, Varim Amurim is in Gimel, Benotein Matana. Aval im hodel nechasav, Shem Shalploni, if he's modeh nechasav, then kana, that was what we just had the case before with Isra Gyura. If he admits to it, then everything goes. Right now, the Dalid. Ain kadvalim alalu amurim elo benotein kol nechasav velo sheir klum. He gives away all of his possessions, didn't leave anything. Avalim sheir klum shalnatan dino kumnatnat bari. As a din, like matnat bari, like Rav Nachman here in our Gemara. Sheinu niknate elo bekinyan. You need number one, you need a kinyan. Velav dafke kinyan elo hua din mishicho mesiro agba. Any types. Kol echad lefi kinyano. Ben karka ben metalklin. Vedafo matana guzu mahani mesirato. Aval matnat shchimer shechol akzvar lo mahani tfisa klum, doesn't help whatsoever. Why? Because you need a kinyan. Why do you need a kinyan? Because it's functioning differently. Matana, if he gives away all of his possession, that's functioning as a matnat shchimera. Matnat shchimera works in the way that the kinyan is only effective when he dies. A matana memitzas means that he's not giving it as a matnat shchimera. That's the problem. It isn't a matnat shchimera anymore. Because when he gives mitzas, that means that he's leaving over part of his possessions. He believes, or he's already considering the possibility that he won't die. He's considering the possibility he won't die, he's not giving a matnat shchimera. He's giving a matnat bari. If he gives a matnat bari, then what does a matnat bari work? You need a full-fledged kinyan. So if you need a full-fledged kinyan, and it's matnat bari, what does that mean? Number one, it means that it's effective immediately. Number one, it means it's effectively right away, not when he dies. And number two is you can't back out of it because it's a full-fledged kinyan. It was done right now. When a case of a shchimera, the kinyan is only effective once he dies. But here he's not going to die. So if he doesn't die, right, then the kinyan has to be effective, right, is affected. I'm sorry, if he doesn't die, then the kinyan never came into effect when he gave away kula. By bemitzas, since the kinyan bari, the kinyan's now, and that's the only way he can give it. If he doesn't make a kinyan, there is no kinyan because there's no matnat mishchimera. So mixas will work different than kula in shchimira. But this is, right, this is all with the matnat shchimira. But that is, b'med dvorim amurim, shematnat shchimira sheish bashiur ina niknait el bikinyan, v'imamad ina chuzer, shenatan stam. That's if he gives it without saying anything. Aval impeirish, if he said explicitly machmat mita, that it's because of death, o afil lo peirish, el shenira mitok dvarav shenotein machmat mita, or it's clear from the circumstances that he's giving because he really thinks he's going to die soon, k'shon mitonein al mitato, k'yotz v'zeh, like the case here with the, right, with the mother, with his sister, where he says, vay lemito, right, that it doesn't mean that he explicitly says that he's going to die, but he says, I'm worried about death. It's on his mind. Then you can use an amira without a kinyan. Even with a kinyan, then she can back away. So there are, what comes out from this is that there are, this matnat shchimera is, or all this idea of matnat shchimera is a category that is not when the person is like death on their mind, that they're like at the edge or the precipice of death. So matnat shchimera, we're going to say, if he gives away kula, or umdin adadas, is that he meant to give it because of death. And therefore, if he survives, we're going to take it away. Because that's matnat shchimera. That is exactly what a matnat shchimera is. So matnat shchimera is that the umdin adadas is that he's going to grant it when he dies, that's when it's going to go into effect. If he doesn't die, it doesn't go into effect, then he can back out of it. But that's only when you give away kula. When you give away mitzas, that's not called a matnat shchimera. That's called a matnat bari. You're going to require a kinyan. If you don't have a kinyan, even if he dies, you don't get it because there's no kinyan here. So you need a kinyan to affect it. And number two is if you don't pass away, the person doesn't pass away, you cannot reverse it because there was a kinyan and it was a full-fledged matnat bari. On the other hand, if you have what's called machmat mita, machmat mita enters in an additional factor over here. What does the matnat mita do over here? It tells you, and again, the Ritva gave us the definition of that. The person suddenly fell ill and they're like on the precipice of death. Or the person's moaning about dying. That it's something that's the forefront of their thoughts. Then we say that that's implicit, that when already they say that, it's a tznai that's embedded in the gift. It's a tznai that's embedded in the gift. Number one, if he gives a matnat kula, even with a kinyan, right, if he can back out of it, if it's machmat mita, right, even with a kinyan on it, he could back out of it if he said, I won't back out. And number two is that if it's a matnat memitzas, you can still do it without a kinyan. Because then when it came matnat machmat mita, the circumstances show us that it really is it's a matnat shchimera. If he's just a regular shchimera and he's granting memitzas, we say, no, he's considering that he might survive. And therefore, it's just a matnat bari. But if he's in the context of machmat mita, he's thinking about death, or he's talking about death, then we know that when he granted mixas, he also meant to do it as a matnat shchimera, and therefore will be effective, right, when he dies, and he won't have to have a kinyan. And even if you make a kinyan, he can back out of it, because that's the implicit tonight, that's an embedded umdana of tonight in the gift. So machlan mita seems to be a more extreme form of matnat shkemira. Matnat shkemira is a person who's on their, you know, thinks they're going to die, but there's a possibility they're going to survive. They're just, they're sick. They're, you know, ill, very ill. Mitzuba or tzave machlat mita is something where the person has death at the forefront of their mind. That's what they think, they're going to die, and they're seriously considering death at this point in time. That's another category that steps beyond that of shkemira. And in that case, it'll have a din of umdana, that it's a matnat shkemira and an embedded tnai in the gift. Okay, we'll stop over here.